Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Captured by the Fae by Vera Rivers, narrated by Stephanie Savannah. Chapter 1.
Get your hands off me! I slapped a meaty hand off my ass, glaring at the offender. He grinned yellow teeth at me.
What's holding up that beer, honey?
Touch me again and you'll regret it.
I don't think so. A sweet thing like you.
He continued touching me. I'd had enough. I moved fast. My elbow connected with his nose, and I felt a satisfying crunch. Blood poured from his nose and dripped onto his shirt while he howled.
Let me get you that beer, I said through gritted teeth.
I would have asked him to leave, but it wasn't my call. When I walked away, another male tried to grab me, and I dodged the hand. I wanted to spin around and punch him in the face, too. Drunk males slobbering all over me was the worst part of the job. I wasn't a piece of meat they could manhandle whenever they wanted just because I worked at the tavern. I collected empty beer mugs and stayed clear of the really drunk guys.
Do you want to tell me what the hell that was?
Craig demanded when I walked back to the bar to refill pint glasses with the bitter ale he sold on tap. His enormous, doughy belly strained against his stained shirt, in plain sight because of the two missing buttons, and his eyes were black, shifting in their little sockets. He was in a mood today. I'd angered him since I'd come down from my room on top of the tavern at dawn this morning. I didn't know why. He leaned on the bar, talking to some patrons while I ran around, running the show for nothing but the tips a few of them left, and a room with a daily meal I didn't have to pay for. "He's groping me, Craig," I said, and slammed the tray down so that the glass pints trembled. "He always gropes me, and you do nothing about it."
"No harm, no foul. He pays good money as a regular."
"Yeah, I knew that. He was a regular offender."
"And if you're a sourpuss about it, you chase away my customers. One of these days, he's going to find somewhere else to spend his coin. And then, what happens if they all leave?"
"I'd be better off," I grumbled.
"What was that?"
"Nothing." I'd been in a lot of fights, fending for myself when Craig refused to protect me. A tavern wasn't the type of place women worked when they wanted to be seen as respectable ladies. Then again, Fae never saw human women as respectable. We were the slaves, the help, the bottom of the food chain. Jasphen was Fae country. I'd heard that humans lived freely in the Upbrain Mountains to the north, but it wasn't like I had the means to leave. On foot, it was more than a week's travel, and I couldn't afford it without my job here. Even if I made it, what if I got there and they wouldn't have me? I'd grown up being unwanted. My parents had gotten rid of me. My foster parents had used and abused me. And when I'd run away, this was the only place where I'd been able to take care of myself. Besides, I'd lived my whole life, my spectacular 21 years, in Steephold. It was a tiny town at the very south of the country bordered by a forest, with rolling fields and sunshine and the illusion of happiness. It was home, whatever the hell that meant.
"If I catch you causing trouble with the patrons again, you're out," Craig threatened. "I mean it, Ellie. I can find someone to replace you tonight if I have to."
I stared at him, shocked. He'd taken away my meals. He'd forced me to work double shifts. He'd made me scrub the kitchen after hours. He'd never threatened my job. Craig didn't threaten. When he said something, he meant it. That was why he was so terrifying. "You can't do that to me!" If it was just a job, that would have been one thing. But it was my room, too. I wasn't going back onto the streets. I needed a roof over my head and food in my belly.
"It's my tavern. I can do whatever the hell I want. You humans think you can do whatever you want now that King Arnott is dead."
I bit back the snarky remark I wanted to throw at him, I clapped back often, but he was in a foul mood, and I couldn't risk my job. Not tonight. He was going to use the king's death on me for a while to come still. I'd read about the king's death, but the event didn't impact either one of us. A day of mourning had followed, where everyone was mandated to wear black and act like we were sad about a fake king that no one knew personally. The king was dead. Flyers of the murderer ruled every bulletin board, advertisement, and news bulletin. Blonde hair, stern features, a face that looked like it was more comfortable with a snarl than a smile. None of that affected us. It hadn't changed my life in the slightest. Life was still tough all around. Rumors circulated that the new Fae King, Rhaenyra, King Arnot's only son and next in line to rule, had plans to end slavery for the humans. The Fae complained about slavery being abolished, as if that would ever happen.
"You're treading on thin ice, Ellie," Craig warned.
I shook my head and filled the pints before carrying them back to the booths.
"Finally,"
Ham Hands sneered, and grabbed the pint from my tray before I handed it to him. He'd stopped the bleeding, but his teeth had blood on them when he grinned, and his eyes were filled with menace. He wanted to finish what he'd started now. It was a matter of pride. He grabbed from me with his other hand, but I bounced back. I wanted to retaliate, put him in his place. I was small against his bulky size, but that meant speed would be on my side, and I was a decent fighter. Years of warding off assholes in the tavern did that. But Craig was watching, and Ham Hands was a regular customer. We couldn't risk those, or Craig's reputation, now could we? The last pint on my tray fell when I avoided his touch, and it shattered on the floor. Beer splashed everywhere.
"That's it,"
Craig said, standing. I fell to my knees and started picking up the glass pieces, not caring that the glass cut my hands or that beer soaked my only pair of pants. I felt Craig's anger coming toward me as he stomped through the tall tables. He grabbed me by the shoulder and yanked me back, planting me on my ass.
"You're not getting anything to eat tonight. You hear me? Do you have any idea what these cost me?"
Of course I knew. I was the one that always called in the orders. "So I have to feed everyone else, but I go to bed hungry?"
"You're not feeding them. I am. You're lucky you still have a place to sleep,"
Craig snarled, and shoved me toward the kitchen behind the bar. I shook my head and dumped the glass pieces into a bin on the way to the kitchen. When I was alone, I ran cold water over my hands, washing away the blood that seeped from the cuts created by the glass. I fought back my anger and blew the strands of auburn hair out of my face that had come loose from my ponytail. I tried not to think about the fact that I would not eat. My stomach growled in protest. I stayed in the kitchen, listening to the chatter and laughter die down as Craig greeted his patrons and closed up the front of the tavern. When he finally came into the kitchen, he ignored me. He opened the pantry and took out a loaf of bread, a chunk of cheese, and a bowl of salted butter. He added turkey to it from the fridge and locked it all up before he left so that I couldn't get anything for myself. When he switched off the lights, I crept out of the kitchen in the dark and climbed the ladder to my room above the kitchen. It wasn't much of a home, but it was better than sleeping on the street. I'd experienced a life of being homeless, and there was nothing I wouldn't do to avoid it. I slept on a pile of rags in the corner, on slivered wooden floors, but it was more comfortable than it looked. Aside from tonight's punishment, I usually went to bed with a full belly. I twisted the ring that I always wore on my middle finger. It was the only thing I had from my mother, or at least that's what the woman who ran the orphanage told me. Maybe I twisted it hoping for some guidance, but really, I just twisted it out of habit. I took it off and placed it in my small box of personal possessions for safekeeping for the night. I walked to the window and looked out. Steephold was a lot like the rest of Jasvin, from what I heard from travelers passing through the tavern. Everything was a combination of old buildings and traditions that stood the test of time and the latest technology. The digital lights, hologram advertisements, combined with the weathered bricks, slivered wood, and printed flyers, was where the past and the future came together. I sat down and put my arms up on the windowsill, looking out at the night. My stomach rumbled with hunger. I tried to focus on the lights and the life teeming below, the push and pull between the Fae and humans living together. This wasn't the life I wanted. I'd always wanted more, but I didn't know what I was looking for. I simply couldn't believe that this was it. This was what the rest of my life would be like. How is it possible that I, at 21, had reached the pinnacle of my potential? I didn't know how I would change my life, though, how I would get out of here. Being human in a world where we were nothing was a curse, and I had no way of changing my fate. I wouldn't die of hunger tonight, but if I had to keep trudging through this mundane existence, I didn't know how I would keep on living. My soul yearned for more, yet it never got what it needed. A sound from below snapped my attention back to the present. What was that? It had sounded like someone was in the kitchen, but I strained my ears for the sound again. This time, it was loud and clear. Someone was down there. An icy finger trailed down my spine, and fear crept up from my core. If someone broke in and stole something from Craig, I would get the blame, no matter what I did or said. I'd clapped back at him often enough. I'd put my foot down. I'd made life harder for him than I'd needed to, because I hated being pushed into a corner. But he would take all this, pathetic as it was, away from me if something happened now. I crept across my room, careful not to let the wooden floorboards creak, and climbed down the ladder. When I crept into the kitchen, the lights were off. I poked my head around the corner, tasting my heart in my throat. Nothing. I straightened and frowned. I could have sworn. A scratching sound came from the storage room next to the kitchen. I spun around. "Who's there?" I demanded. Silence. I took a step closer, and another. Again, the scratching sounded. I took a step into the storage room. The whooshing sound of a large object swinging through the air came fast. An object hit my head, hard. I swirled, but my vision was already blurry. I barely made out a figure in the dark before everything went black. Chapter 2. I didn't kill the fake king of Jasvin, but that was the first thing someone screamed at me the moment I woke up. I opened my eyes, and nothing around me was familiar. I was lying on the ground, and the cold concrete seeped through my clothing and was frigid against my skin. My whole body involuntarily shivered. All four walls were metal bars, like a cage. Was I in a prison cell? Yes, I was definitely in a cell. And I didn't know why. The same guard who had yelled at me from outside of the cell stormed in and forced me to my feet. My arms were chained, and the cold metal dug into my skin when the guard grabbed my wrist to force me forward.
"Move,"
he growled, and I obeyed. The hallways and stairs he led me through were dark and cold, and the air was damp and smelled like mildew. A door opened, and there I was, in chains and standing in an arena of sorts. The stands rose like an amphitheater, and the crowds all around me were losing their minds with excitement. The electric atmosphere crackled on my skin. Despite the sun beating down on the sand in the arena, a chill ran through me. The weight of the chains dragged me down. The magic of the spelled metal hummed against my skin. I would not work my way out of these chains. The magic was impossible to break unless someone cast it. Bile coated the back of my throat. Blood rushed in my ears, and despite shivering with cold, sweat broke out on my skin, dampening my hair. I cleared my throat, and my voice was thick and different. When I looked down at myself, I wasn't me. My body was enormous, muscular, the body of a man. What in the seven realms of hell? I wore a battle outfit, not my own clothes. But nothing here was my own, not even my body.
Next,
A guard boomed. Another guard pushed me forward, a spear at my back. The sand kicked up beneath my feet, and I tasted dust in my mouth. Rainier, the Fey Prince, sat on the throne, his face stony, eyes filled with rage. I was just as confused as I was terrified. I was in the presence of the Fey Prince of Jasphen. He was a sight to behold, his pitch-black hair in stark contrast to his marble skin, and his eyes the color of ice. His gaze chilled me to the bone.
Xander, I have charged you with the murder of the king.
Xander? I'd seen the flyers. I'd heard the name, but that wasn't me.
I didn't do it, I said.
My voice wasn't my own. It was deep and distinctly male.
You have the wrong person.
I fought against my restraints, but the spear dug into my back, and I stopped fighting.
I'm not.
I don't think so, Prince Rainier, or King, now that his father was dead, snapped. He would not let me finish. And why would he? I looked like this, like Xander. His rage increased when he talked to me. His anger rushed toward me in hot and heavy pulses, laced with the sorrow of losing his father. It flowed through me like a cancerous ache, taking root. I felt the sadness buried at my core, threatening to drown me. What the hell was going on? I'd felt nothing before but my own emotions, my own fear or rage. This was wrong. No humans were in sight as I looked around. I was in the middle of the Fey court. I wasn't Fey, but I was being tried as one.
You will fight the beast, Rainier said, with all the power and grace of a king.
The guards marched me away and tossed me into the arena. The crowds cried out, the excitement electric in the air. All eyes were on me. I spun around, looking for the beast, but I was still alone. I started searching for a way out, but there was no way I would get out of here without the guards stopping me. I caught a glimpse of myself in the metal cladding that finished the sides of the arena. Tall, well-built, a shock of blonde hair. A man. I was in the body of a man. Despite the blurry reflection, I knew I looked like the male in the flyers. I remembered nothing before I'd woken up a few minutes ago, locked up in a dark cell deep beneath the earth. Nothing made sense. How had I gotten here? How had I been turned into a man? Maybe this was a dream? The sound of the large metal doors clanging open had ripped me out of a dark place, and guards had dragged me up an endless amount of stairs until I'd ended up here. Then my mind blanked. Was that it? Nothing else to give me a clue as to what was happening? I tasted my heart in my throat. My head ached as I tried to think. Heat radiated from the sand beneath my feet, and the sun above scorched the bare skin on my arms, my forehead, my neck. Despite the heat, the chains were cool to the touch around my wrists. Thick magic chains cuffed them, so fighting back hadn't been an option. Maybe, if I'd been prepared, I could have fought my way out. I'd fought my way out of a tight spot more times than I could count. But that was when I'd been in a body I knew. This one was large, heavy, slow. I didn't know how long my legs were, how far I could reach. I didn't know how hard I could hit. This guy was powerful. Between fight or flight, I bet he would do the former. Speed wouldn't be on my side here, and that was what I always relied on. I glanced down at the chains again. My hands were bound in front of me. It would allow me to fight, at least. The Fae worked with all kinds of spells all the time. I'd seen them use them for everything, from adding flavor to food to making their equipment indestructible to using it against each other and against humans. I studied my large, calloused hands. When I balled them into fists, they were the size of a child's head. The groaning sound of a large metal door lifting on the opposite side of the arena drew my attention, and the crowd hushed. The silence was deafening. A wild, blood-curdling roar sliced through the quiet, followed by the incessant cheering of the crowds. A vicious monster appeared. The large, scaled body had an oily sheen to it. Scales like armor slid over each other as the creature crawled out of the darkness, and long, white teeth dripped menace. Spikes protruded at inconsistent intervals along the neck, and the creature sported a thick tail. Red eyes promised death, and nothing blocked the way between me and the monster.
"I'm not a Kingslayer," I shouted. "I didn't do it. You've got the wrong person. I'm a woman, a human."
Laughter rippled through the crowds. No one would listen. I was being forced to fight this monster, punished for a crime I didn't commit. The monster stood on the other side of the arena, head low, a growl emanating from the back of its throat. The chains around my wrists fell off, as if their time had expired, and I could finally use my arms. At least I could try to defend myself. The monster spun around, those red eyes locking onto me, and it let out a scream that sounded more like the screams of a woman than a monster. It shook the large body, those oily scales shimmering in the light, and pawed the ground like a bull about to charge. And I was painted in red, the only target that the monster saw. Oh, goddess, this was where I died.
Chapter 3. I should have focused on the monster. I should have been ready to fight for my life. Instead, I looked up at the Fae King, and our eyes locked. A chill ran down my spine. He was incredibly powerful. I felt his magic pulsing from him like a wave, but he was mesmerizing too. Incredibly handsome and dangerous. Like a predator that attracted its prey with beauty, only to rip its head off. With our eyes locked, time stood still. The world slowed to a halt, and everything faded away. All I knew was the gaze of that Fae King staring into my soul. And he looked like he wanted to kill me himself. Hatred filled his icy eyes. He glared at me like I was the epitome of evil. Well, the feeling was mutual, because he was about to be the reason I died. And for what? I had done nothing wrong. I was innocent. But no one would hear me out. This was hardly a fair trial. Death by monster wasn't a fair punishment, either. I noticed Lucia, the future Fae Queen of Jasphen. Her presence next to Rainier demanded attention. A magnetic power drew my gaze. Her cornflower eyes locked on me, too. They were scornful, narrowed at me. Her blonde hair hung over her shoulders like waves of silk. She sat next to the king, polished and regal, and every bit as royal as he needed her to be. She angled her body toward him, and she looked at me down her nose, satisfaction in her eyes. Hostility twitched and twisted inside me when I looked at her. She enjoyed this. The monster let out a roar that shook the earth beneath my feet. The spell broke. The bubble burst. Time sped up, and the monster was going to kill me. My pathetic existence wouldn't end like this. I would fight back with everything I had. The monster swished that thick, leathery tail as if it was soft and furry, like the tail of a cat. It held its head low, red eyes sizing me up. A long, pink tongue ran over the sharp teeth, and a shudder racked my body. The creature didn't run and attack the way I thought it would. I tried to figure out a pattern, but this monster was smarter than that. Instead of charging head-on, it circled slowly around me, stalking me. The crowd held a collective breath, and I moved as the creature did. I kept my back to the wall, facing the monster at all times. When it circled left, I did the same. I would stay on the opposite side of the arena and keep away from the monster for as long as I could. I stepped on something hard and looked down. A spear lay in the sand.
I kneeled down and wrapped my thick fingers around it. The spear was thin and strange in my foreign hand, but I would figure it out. I didn't know if the spear was there on purpose or if this was a mistake. But thank goddess for something I could use to defend myself. Although I doubted a spear would be enough to take on the armored monster, it was better than nothing at all. The beast suddenly lunged forward, teeth bared. Instead of stepping back, I stepped in toward the creature and pointed the spear at its face. I burrowed the back of it into the sand so the monster would leverage itself against it. When the creature charged, the spear did what I needed it to do. The tip pushed in between two of the large scales, and blood poured out. The monster let out a feminine scream and backed up. It regarded me with red eyes and snapped its jaws. It was angry that I'd done damage. This time, the creature seemed to calculate its next move. How smart was this thing? I was in trouble. It backed away, tail flicking again. Those eyes locked on me and followed my every move. I waited. Storming the monster put me at a great disadvantage. I was only human. Or whatever. In this body, I wasn't sure what I was. The monster was enormous, and I wouldn't let that count in my favor. Or try to. Usually, I had speed on my side. But I was in a body I wasn't used to. I had to figure something out. Dead was dead, no matter what body I was in. When the beast charged again, I ran forward too. I let out a vicious battle cry that sounded strange to my ears, coming from my mouth in such a deep bellow. I saw the steps falter. The creature was unsure about my reaction. It expected me to curl away in fear. Was I terrified? I was scared out of my mind, but backing down would only get me killed. I'd learned a long time ago the only way to win a fight was to give it my all. When the monster hesitated, I took my chance. I leaped forward, spear pointed at the head. I tried to get it into the eye. The monster turned its head last minute, and the spear skipped off the scales and clattered to the ground on the other side of the large body. The monster's lips turned upward, almost like a smirk as I looked up. I held my breath, and terror froze me in place, but only for a second. I'd need to fight or die a coward, and I wasn't one to give up so easily. The beast crept closer. I was without a weapon and in trouble. I started backing away. This was exactly what I shouldn't do, but I had nothing to charge with now. My back hit the wall, and I knew this was it. I was done. This monster was going to kill me, and I had no way to stop it. I glanced toward the hovel where we'd waited. It was too far for me to make a run for it. The guards poked their heads out, eagerly watching. Everyone rooted for me to die. Great. The monster opened its jaws, let out a roar that made my bones rattle, and it snapped the giant mouth at my head. I ducked, and a deafening metal thud sounded. I blinked my eyes open and glanced up at the monster just above me. It had gone for my head, and missed? The crowd gasped. I looked at my hands and realized they were my hands. Whatever other body I'd been in was gone. I was myself again. The only reason the monster had missed my head was that I was much shorter than the man I'd been a moment ago. I wore my own clothes again, so I could move more quickly in cotton pants and the loose-fitting tunic. The smell of the beer I'd kneeled in, what felt like a lifetime ago, rose to my nostrils. I took the opportunity. I had to act fast. The monster didn't know what the hell was going on. Neither did I. No one did. But there wasn't time to ask questions. I was my usual size once more, small and fast. I knew my body. I could trust it again. I vaulted out from underneath the enormous belly of the beast. I rolled across the dust and found the spear gleaming in the sun. When I came up onto both feet, I crouched low, spear pointed at the beast. It shook itself out and charged with an indignant roar. It was furious it was losing. And I was sick and tired of this. I just wanted to go home, but the thought was fleeting. If this monster killed me, I was...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?